So this long-forgotten British journal, edited by one of the 20th century's great novelists, is coming back to life, despite its somewhat seedy burial in 1937. In the 30s, Graham Greene led Night and Day magazine with a mix of prose, satire and cartoons, as well as serious essays and reviews. Heralded as the British rival to The New Yorker, it shone briefly before dramatically closing after a scandalous libel suit involving none other than Shirley Temple. Now it's been resurrected electronically as a labour of love by two assistant editors from the Random House Publishing Company in London. Tom Avery is the co-editor of the new online edition of Night and Day. He joins us from his office at Random House. Tom, welcome to the book show.
Thank you for having me.
Tom, before we get on to the new version of Night and Day, it was Graham Greene's review of a Shirley Temple film, Wee Willie Winkie, that got the original journal into trouble and caused it to close. What did he write that was so scandalous?
Well, actually, it's a fallacy to say that Greene's review caused the magazine to close. They were in financial difficulties long before then, unfortunately.
But it's a much better story if Greene's review
It is, yeah, we'll stick to that. He sort of made some allusions to her beauty and her coquettishness that didn't go down well with MGM or with the actress herself. So they launched a lawsuit, and it was in the sort of final days of Night and Day when it finally came to court. Greene had escaped several thousand miles away, researching a book in the southern states of Mexico. But while he was there, he received a letter from Chatto, the publishers, to say that the Lord Chief Justice had not only described his review as a gross outrage, but had sent the file on to the Director of Public Prosecutions for a possible charge of criminal libel. So with that hanging over the magazine, it sort of hastened its demise, unfortunately.
Yes, well, Wee Willie Winkie was a Shirley Temple film in 1937 in which the not-yet 10-year-old Shirley Temple helps her father, a British colonel in India. And I suppose we should just read a little bit of this review, saying, infancy is her disguise. Her appeal is more secret and more adult. Already 2 years ago, she was a fancy little piece. In Captain January, she wore trousers with the mature suggestiveness of a Dietrich. Her neat and well-developed rump twisted in the tap dance. Her eyes had a sidelong, searching coquetry. Now in Wee Willie Winkie wearing short kilts, she is a complete totsy. Watch her swaggering stride across the Indian barracks square. Hear the gasp of excited expectation from her antique audience when the sergeant's palm is raised. Watch the way she measures a man with agile studio eyes, with dimpled depravity. And this is before Nabokov, isn't it?
It is. It preceded the great Lolita. But I think, I can't dispute the controversial nature of Greene's comments, but I think it was more an attack on the film studio and the director than on the actress, although he did say some rather nasty things about her. They later became friends, and I think she saw the funny side eventually.
What was the legacy and impact of this 1937 journal, Night and Day? I mean, it lasted 6 months and closed in, you say it's a less than dramatic way, but it closed. What was its legacy?
Well, I think it sort of brought to the UK for the first time some of the wit, the intelligent writing and the sort of subversive nature in a way of the New Yorker magazine. I think it encouraged writers to work beyond the traditional oeuvres. So you had people like Selwyn Powell writing on motoring. Greene himself took on a range of strange assignments. And I think that sort of continued in British literary magazines from that day on. More locally, I think, here in the office, it's something we weren't so aware of, the magazine's impact. But having worked on a book on Graham Greene and his family, and observing the covers themselves situated around the office, we sort of began to delve into its history and examine what exactly it did and the impact it had at the time.
It's generally understood that Graham Greene and Shirley Temple, as you said, actually later corresponded in a friendly and amusing way, but the case didn't impress Graham Greene's future employer, the spy agency MI6. But there's also an interesting later twist involving another great literary lawsuit some 20 years later. Can you describe the link between Lady Chatterley's lover and Night and Day?
Yes, it's not a direct link as such, but about 22 years after Night and Day closed, Alan Lane, an imprint of Penguin Publishing, decided to risk prosecution by publishing the complete version of D.H. Lawrence's Lady Chatterley's Lover. And the publisher, Alan Lane, chose the firm of Hazel, Watson & Viney, which was originally one of the two printing firms to have invested in Night and Day. But just before the presses were due to roll, they decided to withdraw, partly because the compositor, shocked at what he had read on the presses, complained to the head reader, and also because one of the firm's directors pointed out that Hazel's, the printers, had ended up paying out when Night and Day went bust. So they refused to print Lady Chatterley's Lover. But as it happened, Penguin went on to sell over 3 million copies, and I'm sure had their nerve not cracked, Hazel's could have shared in the bonanza.
And what was the response from MI6 about the case when Graham Greene wanted to work there?
Well, I think it was around 1940 when Greene joined MI6. And though he did engage in some work for them, I think it was referred to as a possible black mark against him. Again, this has only recently come to light, but you can see the reverberations of the case kind of echoing throughout the century.
Well, you proposed the resurrection of the magazine to Random House, which took over Chatto and Windus, the original publisher of Night and Day, and you went into their archives in Northamptonshire for research.
Yes.
What's in the archives?
All sorts, really. It's an extraordinary place. It's an enormous, enormous warehouse filled with shelves and shelves and shelves of books and boxes and cupboards, and we spent a day there sort of from very early in the morning to late at night, just sort of browsing the shelves and speaking with the head archivist, Jean Rose, who has an extraordinary knowledge of what's contained there. And we found not only some of the original Night and Day magazines, but also other publications that imprints that now comprise Random House were publishing in the first half of the 20th century, as well as things like early Iris Murdoch manuscripts, illustrations by Ralph Steadman, and lots of rare first editions. And it is really a kind of treasure trove. We were just but children in a sweet shop, really.
What will you do with them?
Well, we've got a few. Unfortunately, we're not allowed to take many of the rare items out of the library, but we've got a few here in the office, and we sort of we use many of the articles and some of the pieces in those earlier magazines in the new Night and Day. There's some really interesting, strange pieces that were written. For example, they did a whole range of literary types. So they had people like the publisher's assistant, the ideal reader, the literary agent, and sort of summarized these characters and made caricatures of them, which were very funny. And also sort of advice for future writers, very tongue-in-cheek and ironic and very funny. And we've tried to maintain not only some of the writing, but also some of the aesthetic and some of the design work in those magazines.
Yes, it has a very retro look of the original 1930s style.
Yeah. Well, we hope to sort of establish a link between the new Night and Day and the original Night and Day. And I think that's one of the ways we thought it would be good to do so, particularly because so many of the leading illustrators of the age worked on the original Night and Day, people like Felix Topolsky and Eric Revilius, to name but a few. So there's sort of some extraordinary pieces of artwork contained within, and we've just borrowed some elements just to give it that retro feel.
And in your reinvention on the online version, there's another literary homage to a great literary figure, Dr. Johnson. Can you describe his column?
Yes, Dr. Johnson. He is a Twitter phenomenon. He's a writer who writes on contemporary topics in the guise of Dr. Samuel Johnson. So he has kindly agreed to write a column for us. And in the first issue, he sort of tackles such controversial topics as costermonger Mr. Waitrose, which is a British supermarket. I'm not sure if you have them in Australia. The profligacy of some of the bankers, Goldman and Sachs, and I won't risk lawsuits to name many others. But it's a really wry and funny and really authentic piece. And he's an extraordinarily gifted writer. And we're very happy to have him.
So, Tom, Night and Day, it's a quarterly online magazine published on the Vintage Imprint website, which is part of the Random House stable. It's free to download. You and your co-editor are doing this in your spare time, I understand, as a labour of love. Do the contributors get paid?
They don't, unfortunately. I mean, we've only offered boxes of books and our gratitude for now, but it's... But we very much wanted it to be something that's free and available. And luckily, with the sort of resources available to us here, we can sort of reach a wide audience on the fantastic Vintage Books website.
Do the contributors, particularly emerging writers, see it as a foot in the door of the publishing house?
It was our original intention to sort of use the magazine as a way to promote writing or authors we were reading that we thought didn't necessarily have a voice. And those pieces of work they had that we couldn't traditionally publish. So you'll see in the current magazine there's an extract from a new novel, a short story by an American author who's one of my co-editor and I's favourites, and a sort of poems by two fantastic British poets. And it's a way to sort of make something of the work we see and we read, but aren't able to do something with in the traditional sense.
So they're not necessarily all random authors?
No, they're not. They're not. It's. I mean, we sort of began, the catalyst was sort of conversations we'd had with authors we were working with, but it sort of, we didn't want it to be a kind of strictly corporate initiative. We wanted it to be more a reflection of our taste, both as editors and within the imprint. I mean, it's a collective effort, really. Although Chris and I have done the majority of the work, we've been assisted by many other editors and by our design department, by our marketing and publicity department. So hopefully the whole magazine reflects our taste as an imprint and what Vintage Publishing is doing at the moment and what we're reading. And of course, there's so many wonderful writers out there at the moment. We just thought it would be a good way to promote that.
Well, we're going to put a link to your website onto our website at abc.net.au/rn/books, where listeners can go and have a look at it for themselves. Thanks so much, Tom, for joining us today on the Book Show.
Not at all.
Tom Avery, editor of the new online magazine Night and Day, speaking from his office at Random House in London. I'm Ramona Koval. This is the Book Show on ABC Radio National.